In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we continue our worship with some beautiful words. These are words that are familiar to every Christian. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have them by memory in the King James Version. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And I don't even have to quote the rest of it, because once I get you started, it's like the prayer at night. You can go all the way to the end. So tonight, this is a short view of the shepherd. Jesus, in one of his seven I Ams of John, calls himself the good shepherd. His sheep know him. They hear his voice. They follow him. And he steps in when there are any dangers, any predators, even guards them against themselves. He lays down his life for the sheep, says John. And in fact, that's what Lent and Easter have taught us. That's exactly what happened when Satan came after the flock. They scattered, they ran, but the shepherd stayed. And in his ability to stand ground with the rebellious and enraged fury of the enemy, he conquered. Because Satan thought he had him buried, only, well, you can't bury Jesus. If Jesus is your shepherd, you will not want. And if you want, it's likely that Jesus isn't your shepherd. Or you're still growing. Tonight, I don't have time to do anything fancy with the metaphor, so we'll just go straight at it and look at what the sheep do and what the shepherd does, how our true shepherd cares for us. Here's how we're like the sheep. In fact, you'll see a parallel between sheep and infants. The thing they are most concerned about when they say, "I lack nothing, I shall not be in want," is food. They eat. It's like they don't know anything else or have any other concern. It's just sleep and eat. And sheep seem to be very similar to that. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Describes the world that we may begin in as a toddler or infant. In the same way, we don't even realize any of the dangers. We just know what we want. We want to be fed and cared for. And we want to be protected. And so he talks about that, having the beautiful, wonderful pastures of nourishment, and then the protection that even when they don't know their own danger, a sheep with all that wool can easily be grabbed by a rushing river and be in trouble quickly, swept away. So the sheep, the infant, us, we too are often oblivious to the dangers around us. As long as our needs are met, doesn't that sound familiar? A second thing that sheep do is that they follow. And a small child will just want mom at the right distance. There's certainly that protection of their presence, their comfort in having mom or dad nearby. Especially when there's been trouble. You know, it's kind of the same that sheep, when they gather together and follow the shepherd, that's good. But when they gather together and follow each other or follow the ways of the world, that's not good. You can see that in our own lives. And then the toddler and sheep adore their parent, their master. They really want to be with them. They enjoy having them nearby to celebrate, to interact. It's as though that's all the audience they need. You see, that is the presence of the shepherd. In fact, I read an article just recently that said we have to watch out for our pets when this whole stay-at-home thing is ended, because they're going to go into depression, having us around so much. You know, there's a better sense of how much he handles when we listen to these words. He really has it all together for us. And that's what we as sheep need, is to trust him. But then, what does the shepherd do? Let's take a look at how he interacts with us and our world. The first thing is he opens and closes the gate. That actually is a very trusted position because it means that he's the one that decides what's going to be dangerous and good for us. Where to lead. If the sheep overgraze, they can cause themselves a great deal of trouble eating bad food, or perhaps even the overeating to the point where they harm themselves. It reminds you, doesn't it, of a teenager who seems to revolve or rotate around the refrigerator. He is always there with the flock. It says that in the scriptures, that the good shepherd not only cares, but he is present. He is there with power. He is there with purpose. And that good shepherd's closeness is for protection. You'll have this wonderful promise of the shepherd. He makes it to his disciples before he leaves. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And one that I have as deep as any passages from, it's quoted in Hebrews 13. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. It reminds me from childhood on. When I went to bed, I prayed the words, now I lay me down to sleep. He scouts ahead. That just simply means that he's watching in advance to see not only where the pasture is, but where the dangers are. He also rescues. Sometimes sheep stray away and get into trouble. That's the Bible story lesson we've learned about. The shepherd's crook pulls them up out of their incapacitated state. It defends them against their enemies. No wolf is going to get near. No fangs, because he cares enough about those sheep to step in between. He, in fact, will stand in the gap. And isn't that what happened? What a beautiful analogy that David, the king who started as a shepherd, gives us. We'll explore this a whole lot more on Sunday. But suffice it to say that it's all with one goal, and that's that we would be with him forever. The last verse says, surely goodness and mercy follow me because of the good shepherd, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, it's about contentment. Psalm 34 says, honor the Lord, all his people. Those who obey him will have all they need. And there's no better definition of contentment than this. Contentment is not having everything you want. Contentment is wanting everything you have. A writer, Jason Lehman, put it this way. It was spring, but I wanted summer. I wanted the green and the warmth. It was summer, and I wanted the cool of fall and the colors. It was fall, and I wanted the warmth of winter. I wanted to have things that I could control. And it was winter, and I wanted spring. You think about it in stages of life, he said, I was a child, and I wanted to be a grown-up. I was 20 years old, but I wanted to be 30 because I wanted to be mature and in charge. I was middle-aged, and I wanted to be 20 once again, youthful and free. I was retired, and it's the middle age I wanted, where I would have presence of mind without limitations. In a cemetery in England, there is a set of gravestones. On the one, it says, she died for want of things. And on the other, it said, he died trying to give them to her. Oh, how often our sin nature goes for something more. And all we need is Jesus. Something more, nicer, bigger, better, the new improved. You see, the disciples had to learn that. We have to learn that. And it's there that we bring about our attitude. I'm going to give you three P's to hang this psalm on, and then we're going to leave her be until Sunday morning. It is provision, that he will give us everything we need for nourishment. to protect and take care of us. Protection. He will watch over us and guard us, even in the valley of the shadow of death. And presence. We eat at his table. Our cup runs over. It's like a contented toddler who goes to sleep and he feels the loving hand of mom or dad as they say, "Go to sleep, my love. All is well." Amen.